A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about monitor mounting, specifically the gap between what you can buy at IKEA and what you'd find in a command center. The question is, if you want a truly custom multi-monitor layout, monitors in portrait, landscape, maybe a side panel off to the left, the consumer market starts feeling restrictive. And he's wondering whether those professional rail systems, the modular tubing rigs, are practical for a home desk, or if there are intermediate hacks like combining or welding single arms together that get you most of the way there. Plus, a general buying guide for what makes a mount actually good.
This is one of those topics where the product category has matured just enough that people think it's solved. But the moment you step off the beaten path of two identical monitors side by side, you discover the floor is made of cardboard.
Cardboard and wishful thinking.
The IKEA moment is genuinely interesting here. They launched the UPP Eleva mount back in 2014, which was basically a basic articulating arm, and then the Berta N 2022, which is their current laptop stand slash monitor riser. But the key thing is what they don't sell. You cannot walk into IKEA and buy a mount that handles a 32-inch in landscape with a 24-inch in portrait stacked above it. That configuration simply does not exist in their catalog.
That's the configuration a lot of people actually want. The big workspace monitor below, the reference panel or chat window above, angled down slightly. It's not exotic.
It's not exotic at all, and yet the consumer market treats it like you're asking for a bespoke chandelier. So let's map out what's actually out there. On the consumer side, you've got three broad categories. 1. Single gas spring arms. The Ergotron LX is the reference design here, 20-pound capacity at full extension, about $200. 2. Dual or triple pole mounts, where a single pole clamps to the desk and arms branch off it. 3. Wall-mounted rails like the Human Scale M8, which is sort of the bridge product between consumer and professional.
The Amazon Basics arm is just an Ergotron LX with less cable management and a shorter warranty, right?
Same factory, same gas spring, same aluminum casting. The Amazon Basics version is rated for 19.8 pounds instead of 20, which is almost certainly a paperwork difference rather than a mechanical one, and it costs about $100, half the price. But the warranty drops from 10 years to 1 year, and the cable management channel is flimsier.
I love that the capacity difference is 0.2 pounds. That's the legal department's contribution to industrial design.
It's the most lawyerly number I've ever seen. But here's where the triple mount versus three singles question gets interesting. The prompt mentions this, and it's counterintuitive. Most people assume a triple mount is cleaner, more integrated, and therefore better. But a triple pole mount forces all three monitors to share a single height plane.
Meaning if you want the center monitor slightly higher than the side ones, tough.
The arms on a triple pole mount typically have limited independent vertical travel because they're all clamped to the same vertical post. You can tilt and swivel individually, but the height range for each arm is maybe 3 or 4 inches of play. Compare that to three separate single arms on their own bases. Each one has a full range of vertical motion, typically 10 to 13 inches depending on the model. You can position the side monitors lower and angled in, the center one higher and flat. It's infinitely more flexible.
It's not like three single arms take up dramatically more desk space. Most clamp to the back edge, and you're talking about maybe 6 inches of desk depth occupied versus 4 for a triple mount.
The real trade-off is cost and clutter. Three Ergotron LX arms at $200 each is $600. A triple pole mount from a decent brand like Vivo or Mount. It runs about $80 to $150. That's a meaningful gap, but you're paying for flexibility.
The triple mount is for when you have three identical monitors in a perfectly flat row, and you never plan to change anything.
Even then, you might regret it. The other hidden issue is weight distribution. A triple pole mount has a single clamp point on the desk, and all the torque from three monitors is concentrated there. If you've got a particle board IKEA desktop, which is literally cardboard honeycomb inside, that clamp can crush the desk over time. Three separate arms spread the load across three clamp points.
Let's talk about weight and torque, because this is where a lot of people get burned. They look at the spec sheet, see supports up to 20 pounds, and assume their 15-pound Molitor is fine. What's the catch?
The catch is extension. A gas spring arm's weight capacity is rated at full extension when the arm is stretched all the way out horizontally. That's the worst-case torque scenario. At full extension, a 20-pound monitor exerts maximum rotational force on the base joint. If you keep the arm folded closer to the base, the effective capacity goes up significantly. An arm rated for 20 pounds at full extension might handle 30 pounds at 75% extension.
Which is why you can sometimes get away with a slightly heavier monitor if you're willing to keep the arm tucked in.
You shouldn't count on it. And this becomes critical with ultrawides. A 49-inch ultrawide like the Samsung Odyssey G9 weighs around 32 pounds without the stand. That's well beyond any consumer gas spring arm except the Ergotron HX, which is rated for 42 pounds and costs about $350. If you try to mount a G9 on a standard LX arm, the gas spring will sag immediately. It literally cannot hold position.
Sagging is the polite failure mode. The impolite one is the arm slowly drifting downward over the course of a work day until your monitor is resting on your keyboard.
Or the clamp failing entirely. Which brings us to VESA patterns, because this is the other compatibility trap. VESA is the mounting hole pattern on the back of your monitor. The standard is the flat display mounting interface, and the most common pattern is 100 by 100 millimeters, four screws in a square. That's what almost every consumer arm supports.
Then you buy a 32-inch monitor and discover it needs 200 by 200.
The VESA MISE standard, 200 by 200, is common on 32-inch and larger displays, and also on some older 30-inch panels. Many consumer arms don't include a 200 by 200 plate in the box. You have to buy an adapter bracket separately, which adds cost and pushes the monitor further from the arm, increasing torque.
Which circles back to the weight problem.
Everything is connected. There's also the recessed VESA problem. Some monitors, particularly Dell's S-series like the S2722QC, have the VESA holes recessed into a cavity in the back of the monitor. The standard screws that come with the arm are too short to reach through the recess, so you need standoffs or spacers. Those are sometimes included with the monitor, sometimes not.
Nothing like discovering you need a specialty screw at 10 p.m. when you're trying to finish your desk setup.
The universal experience of monitor mounting. So that's the consumer landscape. But the prompt asks about the welding hack, and I want to address that directly because it comes up constantly on forums.
ReUltra Wide Master Ace is basically a support group for people who've done this.
The idea is that you take two single arms, cut the base stems, and weld them to a common steel plate that clamps to the desk, or you bolt them together with steel brackets. The goal is to get the flexibility of two independent arms while only using one desk clamp.
Which sounds elegant.
It sounds elegant until you do the torque math. Two arms extended in opposite directions, each holding a monitor, both torquing on a single base point. The rotational force on that clamp can be double what the desk is rated for. If you've got a solid wood desk, you might be okay. If you've got an IKEA Linman top, which is basically corrugated cardboard with a veneer, you will eventually punch a hole through it.
Eventually is doing a lot of work there. Could be 6 months of micro creep before it fails.
When it fails, it's catastrophic. Both monitors go down. There's a better approach if you want two arms on one base. Deskhouse and a few other companies sell steel base plates that are pre-drilled to accept two standard arm stems. It's bolt-on, no welding required, about $40. The plate is larger than a standard clamp base, which spreads the load, and it's made of quarter-inch steel. That's the safe version of the hack.
The welding approach is for people who already own a welder and understand what they're risking.
If you're a fabricator, you already know how to do this safely. For everyone else, buy the bolt-on plate or just use two separate clamps. The desk real estate difference is negligible.
Let's shift to the professional stuff, because this is where the prompt gets really interesting. Command centers use modular rail systems, and the idea of bringing that home is either deeply appealing or deeply ridiculous, depending on who you ask.
The backbone of professional monitor mounting is aluminum T-slot extrusion, most commonly the 80-20 system. 80-20 was invented in the 1980s, and it's basically an aluminum beam with T-shaped slots running along all four sides. You slide nuts into the slots and bolt brackets anywhere along the beam. The brackets hold VESA plates, and because the nuts slide freely, you can position monitors at any horizontal position, any height, any angle.
Instead of fixed arm positions, you've got infinite adjustability along a rail.
In an air traffic control center, they use these systems because operators rotate between stations and need to reconfigure layouts daily. One operator wants four landscape monitors in a row, the next wants a 2x2 grid, the next wants a central ultra-wide with two portrait side panels. With a T-slot rail bolted to the desk or wall, you can reconfigure all of that in under a minute with a hex key.
The rail itself is just a piece of aluminum extrusion you can order cut to length.
A 4-foot section of 80-20-10 series extrusion costs about $40. Brackets are $50 to $100 each. A basic setup, 4-foot rail, 4 brackets, hardware, runs about $350 total. That's comparable to a high-end consumer triple mount, and it's vastly more flexible.
It looks like factory equipment.
It looks exactly like factory equipment, because that's what it is. The industrial aesthetic is the main barrier for home users. You can paint the extrusion or have it anodized black, which helps, but it's never going to look like a sleek consumer product. It's going to look like you bolted part of a CNC machine to your desk.
Which some people love, to be fair.
Some people absolutely love it. The industrial chic thing. But there's an intermediate solution that the prompt alludes to, and I think this is the sweet spot for a lot of home users, the desk rail. Products like the Human Scale M8 or the Vivo Dual Monitor Desk mount rail model Stand V02R. These mount a rail to the desk edge, and then you attach arms to the rail. The arms can slide horizontally along the rail, giving you that left-right adjustability without full T-slot extrusion.
You get the sliding capability, but with consumer-grade arms and a more finished look.
The Human Scale M8 system is expensive. The rail alone is about $400, and each M8 arm is another $200. So for a 4-monitor setup, you're looking at $1,200. The Vivo version is much cheaper, around $80 for the rail, and then you attach their standard arms, but the build quality is noticeably lower. The Human Scale uses a counterbalance mechanism instead of a gas spring, which means no sag over time and no need to adjust tension.
There's also the French cleat approach, which I've seen on some woodworking forums. Basically, a wall-mounted wooden cleat that you attach VESA plates to directly.
The French cleat hack is brilliant in its simplicity. A French cleat is just a board ripped at a 45-degree angle with the matching angle on whatever you're hanging. It's how kitchen cabinets are mounted. You screw a cleat into wall studs, then attach VESA plates to smaller cleats that hook onto it. You can slide monitors left and right along the cleat, and you can mount multiple cleats at different heights. Total cost, maybe $30 in lumber and hardware.
The downside being you've now permanently attached your desk position to that wall.
Yes, and you can't adjust depth. The monitors are fixed at whatever distance the cleat is from your face. It's great for a static setup where you know exactly where everything goes and you never move your desk. For most people, the desk-mounted arm approach is more practical.
Let's talk about the ergonomics checklist, because the prompt specifically asks what to look for when buying. And I think a lot of people skip this and just buy whatever has good Amazon reviews.
The number one ergonomic non-negotiable is independent height adjustment for every monitor. If your mount forces all monitors to move together, you will get neck strain. It's not a maybe, it's a win. The top edge of each screen should be at or slightly below eye level, and your eyes are at different heights relative to different monitors depending on your seating position and the monitor's position on the desk.
This is the fundamental failure of triple pole mounts for ergonomics. They lock you into a single height plane.
Humans are not symmetrical. Most people sit slightly off-center relative to their desk, or their dominant eye favors one side, or they have a primary monitor that needs to be at a different height than the secondary ones. A triple pole mount forces you to compromise on all of that.
What about tilt and swivel?
Tilt should be 5 to 20 degrees backward. You want the screen tilted slightly up at you, not flat vertical. Swivel should be at least 90 degrees so you can angle side monitors toward you, and depth is underappreciated. A good arm should reach 20 to 30 inches from the base, which lets you pull the monitor closer for detail work and push it back when you're leaning back.
Gas spring versus friction arm?
Gas springs are better if you adjust frequently. The gas cylinder counterbalances the weight so you can move the monitor with one finger and it stays where you put it. Friction arms use mechanical tension. You tighten or loosen a screw to set the resistance. They're fine for set and forget setups, but if you're constantly repositioning, the gas spring is worth the premium.
Gas springs do wear out eventually.
They do, which is why Ergotron's 10-year warranty matters. A gas spring is a sealed cylinder, and over time the seals can degrade and the gas leaks out. When that happens, the arm sags and won't hold position. On a cheap arm, you're replacing the whole unit. On an Ergotron, they send you a new one.
Let's do a concrete case study, because I think that helps people map this onto their own setup. The prompt mentions combining different monitor sizes and orientations. What's the actual solution for someone with a 49-inch ultra-wide in landscape and a 27-inch in portrait above it?
This is the exact setup that breaks consumer triple mounts. The weight asymmetry alone is a problem. 32 pounds for the ultra-wide versus maybe 12 pounds for the 27-inch. No triple mount is designed for that imbalance. The solution is two separate single arms. An Ergotron HX for the ultra-wide, rated for 42 pounds, about $350. And a standard Ergotron LX or Amazon Basics arm for the 27-inch, about $100 to $200. Total cost around $500, mounted on two separate grommets or clamps.
You can position the portrait monitor exactly where you want it above the ultra-wide.
You set the ultra-wide at the right height for your primary gaze, then adjust the portrait monitor's arm so it floats above it at a comfortable downward glance angle. The portrait arm's base can be offset to the left or right of the ultra-wide's base so they're not competing for the same desk real estate.
Another case, the home trader with four 27-inch monitors in a 2x2 grid.
This is where consumer mounts actually shine if you're clever about it. A triple mount can't do 2x2 because they're designed for 1x3 or 3x1 layouts. But two dual arm pole mounts placed side by side, each handling a vertical pair, gives you a clean 2x2. The Vivo Dual LCDA monitor desk mount is about $60 per unit, so you're looking at $120 total. Compare that to a custom 80-20 rig, which would run $600+.
Each vertical pair shares a pole, but the two poles are independent, so you can adjust the left stack and right stack separately.
The limitation is that within each vertical pair, the two monitors share a height relationship. You can adjust the top monitor's tilt and the bottom monitor's tilt, but their relative heights are somewhat coupled. For a trading setup where all four monitors are identical and arranged in a perfect grid, that's fine. If you wanted the bottom row slightly lower than the top row, you'd want four single arms instead.
Which gets expensive fast.
Four Ergotron LXs is $800. Four Amazon Basics clones is $400. Four Vivo single arms is about $160. The price range is enormous, and the difference is mostly in the gas spring quality, the metal gauge, and the warranty.
Where does the 80-20 rail system actually make sense for a home user?
I'd say it makes sense when two things are true. One, you have three or more monitors of different sizes. Two, you change your layout more than once a month. If you're the kind of person who rearranges their desk quarterly, or you use your setup for different workflows, maybe coding in the morning with a central portrait monitor, then video editing in the afternoon with a landscape ultra-wide, the rail system pays for itself in time saved.
Because reconfiguring a rail system is a hex key and 30 seconds per monitor.
Versus unclamping and reclamping individual arms, retensioning gas springs, and redoing cable management. The friction of reconfiguration is what keeps people in suboptimal layouts. A rail system reduces that friction to nearly zero.
The cost isn't actually that much higher than a premium consumer setup if you're doing three or four monitors anyway.
A four-monitor consumer setup with quality single arms is $500 to $800. A basic 80-20 rail system with four brackets is $350 to $500. The rail is actually cheaper at scale, and it's more flexible. The trade-off is entirely in aesthetics and assembly effort.
Assembly effort, meaning you have to cut aluminum extrusion or order it pre-cut. Tap threads, possibly. Source the right T-nuts.
It's a project. It's not unbox and clamp. You're going to spend an afternoon with a hex key and possibly a hacksaw. For some people, that's a feature. For others, it's a deal-breaker.
Let's talk about the future, because monitor sizes are still growing. 57-inch ultra-wides are already on the market. The Samsung Odyssey. Neo G9 is 57 inches, dual 4K resolution, and it weighs about 40 pounds.
42 pounds, yeah? And that's beyond the capacity of almost every consumer arm except the Ergotron HX with the heavy-duty pivot, which is specifically designed for the G9. As monitors get bigger and heavier, the consumer arm market is going to hit a ceiling. Gas springs can only scale so far before they become impractically large and expensive.
We might all be using rail systems eventually.
Or something like it. IKEA's SK-DISC pegboard system is interesting here because it signals a shift toward modular desk accessories. SK-DISC is a pegboard you mount above or beside your desk and you attach shelves, hooks, and containers. It's not a monitor mount, but the philosophy is the same, a rail with movable attachment points. I could see IKEA or someone developing a desk-mounted rail system for monitors within the next few years, similar to how cable management trays went for professional data centers to $15 IKEA accessories.
The Signum tray is basically a data center cable manager shrunk down for home use.
And it's one of IKEA's best-selling desk accessories. The market is clearly there for professional-grade solutions adapted to home aesthetics and budgets.
Before we get to the buying guide, I want to hit one more misconception. There's this idea that wall mounting is always more stable than desk mounting.
It depends entirely on what's behind the drywall. If you hit studs, wall mounting is extremely stable. If you use drywall anchors, you're trusting $50 worth of monitors to plastic plugs and gypsum. I have seen wall-mounted monitors tear out of drywall. It's not pretty.
Even with studs, you're locked into the stud spacing, which is 16 inches on center in most American construction. Your monitor positions are constrained by where the studs are, unless you use a rail or a French cleat to span multiple studs.
Which brings us right back to rails. A wall-mounted rail that spans three studs gives you continuous mounting anywhere along its length, unlimited by stud position. That's how commercial installs do it.
All right, let's build the practical buying framework. Someone's listening. They want to buy a mount or set of mounts this week. What's the decision tree?
Step 1. Check your monitor's VESA pattern and weight. Flip the monitor around, look at the back. If you see four screws in a square about 4 inches apart, that's VESA 100 by 100. If it's bigger, measure it. If it's 200 by 200, make sure your mount includes or supports that pattern. If the mount says VESA up to 100 by 100, you need an adapter plate.
Weight with the stand removed, not the shipping weight.
Right. The spec sheet weight is usually with the stand. Remove the stand and you're typically looking at 10 to 15 pounds for a 27-inch, 15 to 20 for a 32-inch, and 25 to 40-plus for ultra-wides. Check the mount's weight capacity at full extension, not just the headline number. Step 2. Decide how often you'll adjust. If the answer is, set it once and never touch it again, a friction arm or even a basic pole mount is fine. If you'll be tilting, swiveling, or repositioning regularly, get a gas spring. The Ergotron LX is the gold standard, but the Amazon Basics clone is excellent for half the price.
Step 3. Single arms versus pole mounts.
If all your monitors are identical in size and weight and you want them in a flat row, a dual or triple pole mount saves money and desk space. If your monitors are different sizes, or you want portrait landscape mixing, or you need independent height adjustment, buy single arms on separate bases. Three single arms beats one triple mount for flexibility every time.
Step 4. The rail decision.
If you change your layout more than once a month, or you have 3+ monitors of different sizes, consider a desk rail. The Vivo Stand VO02R is the budget entry point at around $80. The Human Scale M8 is the premium option. If you're willing to embrace the industrial look, an 80-20 aluminum extrusion rail is cheaper and more flexible than either, but requires DIY assembly.
Step 5. Don't weld.
Don't weld unless you're a welder. If you want two arms on one base for space reasons, buy a bolt-on steel base plate from Desk House or similar. It's $40, it's safe, and it won't void your desk's structural integrity.
the ergonomics thing that people most often get wrong. What's the one thing you'd tell everyone to do?
After mounting, sit in your normal working position and check that the top of each screen is at or slightly below eye level. If you're looking up at any monitor, lower it. Neck extension is cumulative. Looking up for hours a day adds up over years. And if your mount can't lower the monitor enough, the mount is wrong for your setup.
Most people have their monitors too high because they set them on the stand that came in the box and never thought about it again.
The out-of-box stand is ergonomic purgatory. It's designed to look good in product photos, not to position the screen at the correct height for a seated adult human. A monitor arm is the single best ergonomic upgrade you can make to a desk, more than a keyboard tray, more than a chair in some cases, because it directly addresses gaze angle.
All right. One more thing before we wrap. The prompt mentions side monitor mounts. Monitors mounted off to the side, maybe on a separate surface. What's the approach there?
A side monitor that's not on your main desk is tricky. If you've got a side table or a filing cabinet next to your desk, you can clamp an arm to that. The arm needs enough reach to bring the monitor to the edge closest to you. Most standard arms reach about 20 to 25 inches, which is usually enough to bridge the gap between a side table and your peripheral vision.
Or you wall mount it with a long articulating arm.
A wall-mounted articulating arm can reach 30 inches or more, and it frees up the side surface entirely. This is common in recording studios where you've got rack gear on the side and a monitor floating above it on a wall arm.
It strikes me that we're basically describing a world where the ideal setup is a mix of mounting strategies. Desk clamp for the primary, wall arm for the side panel, maybe a pole for the secondary.
Hybrid approaches are underrated. There's no rule that says all your mounts have to be from the same brand or the same type. A heavy-duty desk arm for the main monitor, a cheaper wall arm for the reference display, a basic pole for two matching side monitors. That's a perfectly coherent setup, and it's often cheaper than trying to find one mount that does everything.
The mount that does everything doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist because the forces are too different. A mount designed to hold a 42-pound ultra-wide is overbuilt for a 12-pound portrait monitor, and a mount designed for a 12-pound monitor will fail under a 42-pound load.
Which is also the argument for single arms generally. Specialization at the individual monitor level.
Each monitor gets exactly the support it needs, positioned exactly where you want it. That's the principle.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the 1720s, Faroese coopers believed that the cooper's adze should always be swung underhand, not overhand, because the overhand stroke would anger the iron and cause the barrel staves to warp within the year. This theory was widely accepted in Faroese workshops until Danish shipwrights arrived in the 1740s and demonstrated that the overhand stroke produced cleaner bevels with no supernatural consequences whatsoever.
Angering the iron.
I respect a tool with strong opinions about how it's handled.
This has been My Weird Props. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for that baffling fact. If you've got a multi-monitor mounting hack or a horror story you want to share, we'd love to hear it. Drop it on the subreddit, and we'll feature the best ones in a future episode. Find everything at myweirdprompts.com.
Don't anger the iron. We'll see you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.